We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's traditional, at least has been for 15 years, that in the course of the sermon you will hear excerpts from the three confirmands' essays, as well as Calvin Chorba, who, as Keith mentioned, will be confirmed at a time when both his parents can be here a little later on. David left his friend's house right at 5. He wanted to stay longer, but he knew his mother's surprise birthday party was important, so he left. He hopped on his bike and headed for home, but the path home led past school, and some of his friends were playing basketball, and so he stopped and figured he had a little time to play basketball with them, which he did. But after that, he was thirsty, so he took a little detour over to Quick Trip and got something to drink, then got back on the path. But as he biked past the drugstore, he remembered he had forgotten to get a present. In the drugstore, he had a hard time deciding between chocolates and a candle, but finally he decided his mom would like a candle. So he got in line, only to find the checkout line was really long. They were having trouble with the equipment, and so by the time he got out of the drugstore, he knew he was late. He pedaled as fast as he could home, and it was getting dark, but as he got close to home, his heart sank. The house was dark. There were no cars in the driveway. And when he walked into the living room, he saw wrapping paper and noisemakers on the floor, a little sliver of birthday cake left, and a note. "We went out to eat. Sorry you missed the party." Well, the girls in the story that Jesus told missed the party as well. And they were a little like David because they meant well. Maybe they got distracted. Maybe they didn't really realize how important it was because they didn't bring extra oil. And by the time they went to the store to buy some, the party had started, the door was shut. And the most hurtful thing of all is that when they knocked on the door and said, "Lord, Lord, let us come in," the bridegroom said, "Truly, I don't know you." Our daughter and son-in-law adopted a stray cat and her newly birthed kittens. They had seen this poor, skinny cat and felt so bad for her. So they used one room in their little condo for the kittens, and they enjoyed them, of course. And when they were old enough, they took them to the vet and made sure they were all okay. And then they gave a kitten to each of their friends. They knew they would take care of them, but they kept the mother. They called her Juno. And it didn't take long before, with their tender care, she was a new cat. She was no longer the scraggly, scrawny alley cat that they had gotten, but she had this beautiful coat of angora and calico fur. And she lived with them for quite a few years in this little condo until two kids got a little older and it got a little more cramped. And so finally they found a nice home with a friend for Juno. About a year ago, their children remembered Juno and they wanted a pet. And they said, "Well, let's go visit her." So they went to the house where their friend was, and she brought Juno out. And Juno didn't recognize any of them. They had really saved her life. They had nurtured her for years, and she didn't recognize them. And they were hurt. But if we're hurt when our pets don't recognize us, how much more when someone we feel should know us, someone we think we know, someone we love, doesn't recognize us? Because you see, what if the bridegroom in the story who did not recognize those women, if that person represents Jesus? Because there is a place in the book of Matthew where Jesus says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will come into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. And these words, this story was written down for early Christians in the time in Matthew's community who were waiting for Jesus to show up any day. And they believed when he came, he would judge. And they wanted to be sure. So they took this story as a warning to be sure that they would be living a life so that when Jesus returned, he would recognize them as children of God and take them into his kingdom. Well, some 2,000 years later, we're not thinking about Jesus coming right at this moment. We're probably not thinking of the end of the world. But what if Jesus doesn't recognize us here in this life, especially in the times when we need him, when things are hard, when work is so overwhelming we really don't know how we're going to get it done, or when we're dealing with a physical problem and it's really drawing us down, or when our friends don't understand us or are far away, or when we've been disappointed by people we love, or disappointed in ourselves. I remember a man saying that he wanted his infant daughter baptized, and this is what he said, because someday someone she loves is going to disappoint her. Someday she is going to disappoint herself, and I want her to have the words to deal with it, the words that the church gives her, like sin, and like that God loves us in spite of our sin, and that Jesus came to take away our sins and leave us without guilt so that we have the courage to move forward. So what if Jesus doesn't recognize us in this life because we have walked a little farther and farther away from him, so he can't help us because he no longer recognizes us as children of God? Now, we know that's not God's plan, that God does not want to break ties with us. It was God's idea to begin with to have a relationship with us. When we were baptized, and many of us were baptized as infants, then God took us into his loving arms and said, I want you to be mine. I give you this relationship as a gift. So maybe one way to understand this story is to think about sports. All three of our confirmands, and all four, actually, when Calvin joins us, are active, as many youth are, in sports, in soccer, in climbing, in swimming, in baseball. And you know that your body is a gift. If it's healthy, it's quite a gift. And you need to do something to keep it strong and get stronger. You need to do something to get better at what you do, and that is exercise, right? So what I think Jesus is saying in this parable is that we want to exercise our relationship with God. We want to use every means we can that have been given us to make sure that God knows us and that we know God. So we pray, because that's one way we can really let our feelings out, you know, and the Psalms are full of angry prayers. We don't think of it that way, but God allows that. Prayers of concern, prayers of thanksgiving. And we come to Holy Communion, and here we receive the touch of Jesus. As Jesus says, as we say the words of Jesus, the body of Christ for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. And we read and we hear the words from Scripture that gives us the promises of God and the direction that God has. And we come here. We come here on Sunday morning to be together. And I think our confirmands understand how to use these gifts so that they will always be known by God and know God. One writes in an essay, I feel one of the good ways that my family bonds is through the church, and it is one of the only times the family is together in the same place and doing the same thing. Another mentions, my family goes to church most Sundays, and it is a time we're able to hang out. We also go to many church events together, which we enjoy. We have also done service to others, like going to Room at the Inn and raking leaves and doing Feed My Starving Children. At Room at the Inn, we all helped to make a special meal for the homeless, and we hung out with them during dinner, which was fun and also made me feel good about helping them. We have gone to other members' parties and have all gone out to eat multiple times. Jesus has helped me to have fun times with my family, helped me to learn about service to others, all while doing it with like-minded individuals. Sunday morning is a time to build closeness as families, as this family of Christ, and especially closeness to God through Jesus Christ. And this closeness spills over into our lives, as the three of you, the four of you, reflected in your essay. I don't do a lot with my money, wrote one, but one of the things that I did do was that it was my brother's birthday, and I wasn't going to get him anything cool, but about a day before, I spent all the money I had saved up on a gift that he really wanted. I always want to help people, so when I was thinking about what I want to do when I grow up, I thought I was going to help the next generation. I'm going to do this by becoming a teacher. Another writes, my faith affects my family connections because the way I treat others and my family can show that God is with me. I'm honest with my family, so they know they can trust me. I will love them the way God wants me to. And the way I pray can affect my family because if I'm praying for them, then God will be with them. When I start making money, I want to be able to donate to organizations for kids who age out of the foster care system, to animal adoption agencies like APA. And because of the hurricanes in Florida and Texas and Puerto Rico, I've been interested in doing mission trips with the church. And another writes, Jesus has forever impacted my decisions and thoughts on everyday life. For instance, what to do when someone is feeling down? You help bring them back up. What to do when someone's getting bullied? I'll stand up. Whatever it takes in my life to at least somewhat repay Jesus for his sacrifice is my one and holy purpose. The story that Jesus told us reminds us that our most precious possession is our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. And through it, through Jesus, there is light in the world. And so, besides the Bible that you will each be receiving, I've included a light. This one isn't working as well, but the light that I put in yours does. There we go. So that, you know, you can use it when you're camping, when you're fishing, when you're hiking. You could put it on your backpack, as someone suggested. But maybe for all of it, it's a good thing to remember that really, the love of God is the light in our lives. And the love of God is what gives us the strength and the courage to be a light for the world. Amen.